Giddy up. Okay, second episode, new day.
Here we go.
Here we go. Here we go. We're getting a little bit better. It's our second rodeo.
Yeah. Stretching our sea legs a little bit.
A little bit. So today we're here to talk about the Yellow Rose of Texas.
Yep.
I'm Melissa McGavick, and I'm here with...
Your co-host, Lindsay Lockhart Flynn.
Lindsay Lockhart Flynn. So today, we're going to try something different than we did with the first episode. We're going to see what works best. But if you remember the first episode, listeners, if you heard it, we did the first five facts at the beginning and did all five at the same time. This time, we're going to do one at a time, kind of discuss each one and see if that maybe does a better flow. So we'll see.
Yeah, right? This one's a little bit more educational.
It is.
And it was for me.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And this is part of our show. So we want to talk about Texas history and some of the legends that come behind it for both for Texans and non-Texans and all of our friends moving here every day.
Yes.
So here we go. Fact number one. You ready?
Let's do it.
The Yellow Rose of Texas refers to a legendary figure associated with the 1836 Battle of San Jacinto, a pivotal event in the Texas Revolution. The most common story ties this title to a woman named Emily D. West, also known as Emily Morgan, although historical accuracy surrounding this legend is debated. And go.
So I, you know, it's funny because as soon as this topic popped up on our topic board, it was like instantaneously I could hear the song in my head. It was wild. It was like I was born with it already in there on loop.
And how's it going?
You know, the Yellow Rose of Texas song, you know. But, no, it was really funny because I don't think I ever stopped to really think about the history behind this.
Sure.
And I have to say that I'm glad that you brought it up. And it was really cool for me to do some research on this woman, you know, because it's a story that, you know, that every Texan needs to be able to tell. And it's pretty cool that there's a woman behind it. So how did you come about this?
So when I think about symbols of Texas, I think that a yellow rose is as transient, maybe, I don't know if that's the right word, but as marked in my head as much as like a Texas flag, an armadillo, a cowboy hat, yellow rose. And what's interesting to me about that is kind of like Texas football, you just grew up with that, right? But the yellow rose is not our state flower.
Right.
We're not necessarily known for growing. I mean, you can grow yellow roses in Texas.
Sure.
But it's not like it's not germane to this area.
Yeah.
Or native. So it's interesting to me, like, what is this? And I think it is one of those stories that is romanticized and that it's a legend that's kind of changed over the years.
Yes.
And different people know different things.
Right.
And, of course, in the state of Texas, if you went to middle school here in seventh grade, you have Texas history all year. That is what you do the entire year of seventh grade. So it's kind of interesting to me looking back. I can't. For my memory's sake, I can't remember what I actually learned about her or what I was told, but definitely the part of her. So the fact that the pivotal event in San Jacinto was the Texas Revolution where we won. So it was pretty fucking pivotal. So that would have been when we finally had independence from Mexico and Santa Ana, and we certainly learned about that in history class. San Jacinto itself as a location is really near Houston, where I grew up.
Right.
So, I mean, we would go to field trips down to San Jacinto all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But the legend I remember about the Yellow Rose of Texas was that it was this woman of the night that the Texas Army essentially... their troops were not nearly the volume of the Mexican troops for this battle, and that she snuck in. They snuck her in to Santa Anna's tent and essentially distracted him while his entire army was just kind of getting rattled. So that, of course, you know, fast forward is probably not true at all.
Sure.
But that is what I grew up understanding about her. And the Yellow Rose of Texas was that she was of mixed race, and that was what people called her, Yellow Rose of Texas. And so I don't know I think there's pieces of that that are true, but it's interesting to me, and I'd be interested to find out from our listeners what they know about the Yellow Rose of Texas, or what that means, or what they've heard, or what they learned in seventh grade Texas history.
Yeah.
Yeah?
You know, I don't remember. Number one, thank you for conjuring up seventh grade history in Texas, because I can tell you exactly who my teacher was and where I was, and I don't recall learning this story.
Oh, I see. I don't know. I know we learned the Battle of San Jacinto.
Oh, 100%.
But I don't know how much Emily came up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This was new to me, and I absolutely devoured it. And so I think one of the funniest things that I came across, of course, like you said, to your point, there's different versions of this, you know, telling the story. One of them was, you know, that, so Sam Houston, whenever he left the area, kind of left her behind, and people didn't know if it was on purpose, you know, strategically done or not because of her beauty. Uh-huh. But she ended up, you know, going over to Santa Ana's tent. And what I read was that she was accompanied by a small, you know, a younger boy, and he is the one that ran off to go tell Sam Houston what was going on, where they were located.
Oh, wow.
And the morning of. Yes. And then the morning of, this is my favorite part of it, and you'll know why when I say it, but that Sam Houston was watching from, and the troops were from watching from a while away or, you know, back. And they were having a champagne brunch there at Santa Ana's tent. And then whenever Sam Houston and troops attacked, he literally, Santa Ana, came out of the tent. And had his pants down around his knees.
That's the story. Now, I don't know how much of that is true. I do have learned a lot more about Emily West since then. She definitely was not a lady of the night. she was very educated. She was also from, I believe it was Connecticut. Yes, that's our next fact. She was a free woman at the time, which is really interesting and kind of comes with its own pieces, especially in 1836. But it's, and it should be for the listeners that, maybe don't recall that seventh grade or that don't know Texas history. It should be known too, at this point in the Texas Revolution, we were behind a little bit.
Yeah, we were getting our ass kicked.
We
really were.
Remember, the Alamo was everybody died. And Goliad,
same. Slaughter.
Slaughter. so we, you know, at this point, we were definitely what's that term? Come to me. Anyway, I'm going to go into the underdog. Jesus, there it was.
There you go.
The underdog at this point. You know, so the fact that we kind of came back and whether or not she had anything to do with it is kind of interesting to me.
It's a great legend.
And
there has to be almost like, you know, our West Texas stereotypes. I feel like there's a little bit of truth peppered in with stuff like this.
Sure. So, and why shouldn't there be after a couple hundred years and a couple hundred people have talked about it in generations?
Yes.
And, you know. So our next fact is Emily was a free African-American woman reportedly from Connecticut. She is believed to have come to Texas under a work contract. And it should be noted that freedom then was often conditional and came with severe limitations. So, you know, thinking about what that meant to an African-American woman in 1836, I'm sure, you know, we have to take that into account. It was just a different, very hard time in our history.
Absolutely.
So,
which is why her story is so important.
Super
important. I mean, you know, to be an African American and then a woman and you're living in those, you know, hostile environments. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, and let's just say that maybe, you know, only 30% of this story is true. At least her name pulled through and we're still talking about her today. Which I think is the coolest part, you know, about me getting to research her.
She's really cool. And I think, you know, coming up on the 200th anniversary in the next, you know, decade of Texas independence, I think you're going to hear more and more and more about people like her that made such a huge difference for us, or legends that like her that made such a huge difference. So, as a woman, I think that is incredible. And I look forward to learning more about her.
Same.
So the third fact, legend holds that Emily played a crucial role in the Battle of San Jacinto, where Texan forces under Sam Houston, defeated General Santa Anna's Mexican army, leading to Texas independence from Mexico. The story suggests that Emily captivated or distracted Santa Anna, contributing to the Mexican army's unpreparedness for the surprise attack by the Texan forces. However, there is no solid historical evidence to confirm this narrative. So that's kind of what we were just talking about. Yeah.
Totally.
You know, my brother just told me, or he told me once, and it was recently, that if it all goes to pot, the only currency left will be food, weapons, and women. And he did not use the word woman.
Okay. Yeah. That sounded really well done the way that you did that just then.
And I mean, that for some reason I thought about that with this. You know, you think about the Wild West, and I can't think of any time in our history, especially in Western civilization, that I would not have wanted to be a part of.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was just brutal.
I know.
But if you think about it, that when you think about war, you know, why war happens, and it's money and it's power, and sometimes it's love. Or women.
Right. Yes.
I think it's very true over the history of time. And I'm sure Hassan could pop in on some of this, but that women have probably been the start and end to a couple of revolutions.
If not historically, personally, right?
Right. So I think about that a lot when I think about this topic.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think I'd be curious to kind of travel down this a little bit further and really gain some journalistic facts, like real facts, and see who this woman was. And I think in the next 10 years, as we're starting to celebrate anniversaries of Texas independence, you are going to see a lot of publications about her, probably museum exhibits and things like that. So I look forward to that.
It's a really great story to see memorialized. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that for me, you know, the music component to it is always the coolest part.
Well, and that's what he's kind of talking about. That's our next fact, in fact. The folk song, The Yellow Rose of Texas, was made popular by Mitch Miller, whose version reached number one in the United States. Number one. In the United States in 1955, and it's believed to have been inspired by Emily's story. The original song, with its racially charged language, typical of the 19th century, hints at a romantic connection between the singer and a woman of mixed race.
You said 1955.
You're right, in 1955, but the racially charged language, she lived in the 19th century.
Okay.
So they're talking about her. In this 20th century song, which I'm sure would be canceled if it's not already now. So I'm sure we're going to strike a lot of chords with some listeners. I don't know. I think the most important takeaway for me is to like make sure that whatever her truth is, that's honored, mm-hmm. and that we figure out what the real story is. And maybe it was that song, you know, that song talks about her and Santa Anna, and maybe that's where kind of some of that legend comes through. And what, you know, in my mind, I'm like, oh yeah, it was the gal they put in Santa Anna's tent, like fucking pussy power, you know, just won Texas independence, you know? And that's awesome, you know, as a young woman in the 1900s. But my kid says that to me all the time. You were born in the 1900s. Like, I'm not ready for that.
No, you're
I don't.
And you're an old soul, not old. Okay?
Yes, yeah.
There's a big difference.
No, but I think, you know, the thinking, I mean, if you think 1955, if it's number one then, we're pre-civil rights movements. We're pre,
so
there's a lot of, that was a different and complete, and even the third movement of feminism, the Me Too movement, just in this century, you know, something like that would have never survived. But I think if the song did any justice at all, it would be that it kept that legend going, you know, mm-hmm. I guess. That's all I have to say about him and his little rose.
You know, it's funny because I think that one of the things that I dug up was that, you know, the singing cowboy. Have you ever heard of Gene Autry?
Yeah.
Black and Whites.
Yeah.
And so he also covered it.
Wow.
And so another thing when digging about Gene is he's also another Texan.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really great. So he's from Tioga, Texas. So it's north of McKinney, which is north of Dallas, and just, you know, south of Oklahoma.
So this happens a lot. We've been here decades, and there's still towns I've never heard of.
Oh, I know. Yeah. All the time. All the time. I had to literally look it up because I was like, I've never even heard of that, let alone know where it is.
Yeah.
You know? And then another thing that was really, it was just great because this song, again, you know, talking about how much, you know, Texas has just embraced it, and it really truly is a part of our history. I mean, do you remember the old Liz Taylor movie, Giant? Have you
ever
seen it?
Yes.
So I didn't realize it, but it's also in scenes there mm-hmm. in the background, too. And that was, you know, 1956.
Yeah.
You know, so it's still prevalent today. But isn't that wild? I mean, talk about taking a story and just making it part of your history. It's a great one to tell.
And what do you think that Texans, what do you think that they were romanticizing about it? The fact that we basically, you know, pulled the wool over his eyes, or that it was a woman, or that it was both?
I thought about that, right? Okay, so for me, knowing that song and never knowing the background or the history of it.
Sure. But you've always known that Yellow Rose is,
I've
a,
always known that
is
song,
a Texas
100%,
thing.
And I've yeah. known the song. And then what's actually really funny is that in 1984, Johnny Lee did a duet mm-hmm. with a woman, and it's not exactly the Yellow Rose of Texas, but he refers to her as, I'm going home to see the Yellow Rose of Texas. And so that's always how I thought about it, was something that you love, and it's a woman, and she's beautiful, and, you know, for me, it was like, you know, blonde hair and that stereotypical person.
Well, so maybe it's interesting because it's turned from, it started the legend of this person, mm-hmm. but then the Yellow Rose has now just become kind of, it's turned into just a term
yeah.
for endearment and independence, maybe,
yep.
and love and
yeah.
beauty.
Yeah.
And obviously smarts.
And I mean, can you imagine as Emily West? I mean, if that was your legacy?
Oh, man.
I mean,
I hope she knows.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
I thought the same thing. Yes.
Man, that's awesome.
Yep.
Okay, so the last fact, Emily as the Yellow Rose of Texas has become a symbolic figure in Texas folklore, representing themes of heroism, sacrifice, and the contribution of African Americans to Texas history. The legend and the song have had a lasting impact on Texas culture and are often cited in discussions of Texas identity and history. That almost brought a tear to my eye.
Did it?
Yeah.
Why?
Because that's powerful. Like, just what you were saying.
Yeah.
What an amazing contribution,
mm-hmm.
Person. How awesome to be remembered and so important.
Yeah.
And I hope that in coming conversations, especially, like I said, in this next decade when we're seeing museum exhibitions and mm-hmm. and lectures and probably scholastic journals and all kinds of things coming out during this decade where we're coming up on the 200th anniversary of Texas independence, I hope that her legacy is reborn and rethought
yeah.
out
and
given the respect it deserves.
You know, it's funny because I, like, to your point, I'm going to say this, and we've all heard it 1,000 times, I think, but, you know, they say that you die twice, you know, your death, and then the last time that someone speaks your name.
Mm.
And I feel like this is, like, a really cool thing. I mean,
that's a great
you know,
point.
Yeah,
yeah,
that, I mean, here we are so long after, and we're still speaking and singing her name, you know, that, I mean, gosh, you can't even dream. I bet she didn't even dream in her wildest dreams that this would be her legacy.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, cheers to Emily.
Yeah,
I have
cheers.
To do a cheers.
Yes, absolutely.
And to the Yellow Rose of Texas. all right. Hey, Son, you want to hit us with some fast facts?
Sure. Let's go ahead. Fact or fiction about Yellow Rose, Texas? Let's see what we got here. All right. Okay. I should probably skip up here. That probably be a good idea. let's see.
Do you want me to do my little intro to facts and fiction?
Yeah, I'm going to do a little intro to facts.
Okay, so we're going to end this episode like we're going to do every episode with a little fact or fiction. This is the Never Have Y'all Ever part of our show, which is inspired by the game Never Have I Ever. And in this version, we Hasan throws some facts at us, and we have to decide whether they're true or not. And the one that gets the answer wrong has to drink, and we hope our listeners participate.
All right, let's see. So I'm pulling it up here. It's coming along. I've got, fact or fiction. I've got fact or fiction about cattle and milking.
Oh.
And fly flying. Uh-huh. Friday Night Lights. I do not have any fact or fiction today about the Yellow Rose of Texas. Although, I will ask a question in the fact or fiction segment.
Mm-hmm.
Because I did not know anything about the Yellow Rose of Texas.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is all new information to me. Why yellow? What is the importance of that color?
I would say Creole. She's described to be Creole, which typically was a person that was both African-American and usually of French descent.
Yep.
It's off, usually in Louisiana, although history says she was from Connecticut. So I'm not really sure where the...
Yeah.
On that comes through. But that is, I think, where it came from.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the follow-up question to that, or the follow-up observation, I guess, would have been a question for that is this. My grandma actually went to college in Louisiana way back in the day. Used to infamously say that she was a dark-skinned woman. Just to say the light-skinned girl goes or passes or goes in a horse and buggy, but the black girl walks, so they get there just the same.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, I like your grandma.
I'll touch my grandma on the show.
Yeah.
God rest her soul.
Yeah.
I love that.
So no fact or fiction today, but thank you for that explanation for the folks.
For the folks, yeah.
Yeah.
Not a problem.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Well, cheers.
Yeah. Cheers to that. Here's to Emily West.
Here's to Emily West.
Absolutely. All right.
So you've never heard of that?
So that's a cut.
Mm-hmm.